Shalom, Chavarim. This is John Parsons of Hebrew for Christians, and welcome to another daily Devar audio broadcast. Today I want to discuss the walk of faith and how we need to remain focused on God in the midst of the ups and downs in our lives. As believers in the Lord, we must learn to see beyond the temporal to behold the eternal. We must look past the shadows to see the substance. In a sense, we have to close our eyes and walk in the darkness of faith to see the supernal light that transcends the atmosphere of this world. We are all walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We're all approaching our heavenly calling and ultimate end. As the Apostle Paul wrote, though, we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent that is our heavenly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For this we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always in good courage. We know that while we're at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That reading comes from 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 through chapter 5, verse 7. Note again here the two-tiered vision of reality that's expressed in Paul's vision. He is saying that though our outer life is wasting away, it's a part of the pantareia, the everything that flows, fleeting substance of this life, there is an inner dimension to who we are that is being renewed by the power of God, and this is a daily thing. Yes, we have light momentary afflictions, however, in comparison to eternity, these are very minor things, even though at the time they don't seem that way often enough. But we are not looking to the things seen, but unseen. And as we develop that kavana and that focus, we'll be strengthened further. Shiviti Adonai lenegdi tamid ki mimini bal emod. I've set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. And that's the sort of focus that's being talked about here. We understand that things seen are transient. Again, that means ephemeral or constantly in motion changing, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And we know that if the tent that's our earthly home, referring here to our bodies, gets destroyed or dissolves, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So note again the dualism here. We are suffering because we're part of a fractured reality that is not fully mended. There's still an imbalance in the universe, if you will, both in the physical creation as well as within our own hearts. And God, although he's reconciled all things to himself in Messiah, there's still an outworking that's happening, and the culmination of our redemption still awaits us. Salvation is already and not yet. And it's already not yet because though Yeshua finished the work for our salvation, he said it's finished, he is still awaiting the completion and the full realization of that salvation. And that's why we groan. We long to put on our heavenly dwelling, to come home. We want to be in our Father's house. And so we're burdened. We're homesick. We're not yet fully where we want to be. And that's a form of affliction, is it not? We long for, we yearn, we hurt for our final place with God. We miss him, if you will. And that's why scripture tells us to keep waiting, to keep holding on like a beloved waits for her groom. It's a heart sickness for our beloved. That's why Yeshua spoke in such romantic terms when he said he goes to prepare a place for us. He is likened to a groom who's preparing his house for his beloved. God is the one who prepares this very thing for us, and he gives the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, as a guarantee and pledge of his devotion. The Holy Spirit comforts us as we wait. The word comforter means parakletos. He's called alongside of us, or actually within us, to speak words of comfort and strength as we await the coming of the groom. And that's why we can be of good courage. We know that while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord, but we walk by faith, not by sight. So that ties in with what I was saying at the beginning, that we have to close our eyes, in a sense, to this world and understand it as non-substantive reality. It's not as real as what is ultimately to come. In practical terms, that might mean not getting so upset about the world's news, its fear-mongering, its propaganda, all the things that the world system does to engender social instability and trouble for us. Focusing on this world's news is to focus on the kingdom of darkness and this dying age, this temporary structure that we're living under called the cosmos in Greek, rather than focusing on what is unchanging and true and glorious about the coming kingdom of our Lord, and finding peace in His providential design for reality, and especially for our own lives. That doesn't mean we deny physical reality or say that this is an illusion, as some cults and other world religions say, but that this is a fallen world. It's in a state of what's called vanity, and that has to be repaired yet in the final culmination of our redemption. Mi li vashamayim, whom have I in heaven but you? Ve'imcha chafatzti va'aretz, and there's nothing on earth that I desire beside you. Kala she'ere ulevavi, my flesh and my heart may fail. Su levavi, ve'helki Elohim le'olam. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen. That's from Psalm 73, 25, 26. This world appears to the eye of faith a strange place, and here we are no more than sojourners as we look for our heavenly habitation, whose builder and maker is God. Our hearts yearn for the unseen good, healing beyond death to life, the realm of promise and blessing and unending grace. Selah. Recall that the Torah begins Bereshit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was tohu vavohu vachoshech. That means confusion and emptiness and darkness, which the sages interpret to mean that when we truly understand that God created the heavens and the earth, we will realize that our earthly desires are barren, empty, and unreal. In their despair, Plato and the early Greek philosophers sought what are called timeless universals, which they believed disclosed the reality of an upper world, a heavenly realm of unchanging goodness, beauty, and truth. The world we experience with our senses is a shadowy place of change and decay, but the real world, discerned by clear thinking, is a place of permanence, goodness, and illumination. Now, it's very likely that Plato learned these things from the Jews. For example, from the writings of Moses, the Torah, or from the book of Ecclesiastes, Kohelet, or from the Psalms or Proverbs, or from the book of Job. That is Jewish literature that was extant long before Plato came on the scene. In other words, the scriptures have always taught that the righteous soul trusts that despite the fleeting world that turns to dust, there is an eternal realm, a place of abiding love and a heavenly home. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come, it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Therefore, again, we look not to things that are seen, but to things that are unseen, for things that are seen are transient, but things that are unseen are eternal. In this world we suffer exile, groaning to be with our Savior, the source of all blessing. Amen. So to sum up this daily devar, we understand faith to be a double movement of the heart. It sees both what is invisible, but understands and accepts that the present form of this world is passing away, as it says in 1 Corinthians 7:31. Faith rests in God's providential hand over the chaos and flux of creation. The eye of faith beholds the presence of God and His reign over all the mundane affairs of this world. Indeed, it's only by fixing our hope upon the eternal that we're rightly enabled to apprehend the nature of the temporal world itself. In fact, the word emuna shares the same root as the Hebrew word for truth, that's emet. In that sense, seeing what is invisible is a more fundamental type of seeing, since the truth of hope ultimately interprets all other ways of seeing. At least it does for the heart of faith. Amart la Adonai, Adonai ata, tovati ba'alecha. I say to the Lord, You are my Lord, I have no good apart from you. That's Psalm 16:2. I have no good apart from you. In other words, our real good is bound up with God, with the Lord, and that is the fulfillment of all that we were meant to be. Yehi Shem Adonai Mevarach, may the name of the Lord be blessed. Amen.
אני כל בוקר שהחזרת את נשמתי מודה אני על בגד שנחת על גופי שלא יהיה לי קר אתה שומר עליי.
Please note that this lovely music comes from Omer Adam, and this is a song called Mode Ani. You can find them on Amazon.com. And also, please visit us at HebrewForChristians.com for more about the Jewish roots of the faith, the Jewish holiday cycle, and, of course, learning Hebrew. Shalom, shalom, Chavarim.